Rebecca Ryan is a generational expert, an economist and futurist who consults for businesses and local governments on generational change. She's particularly interested in the so-called millennials, the generation born between 1980 and 2001. Millennials have been hit pretty hard by the recession. The job market dried up just as many of them were beginning their careers. So Rebecca Ryan told Anne Strainchamps that what's going on is bigger than an economic downturn. It is a fourth turning, the end of another cycle of American history. What few of us realize, she says, is that America goes through seasons, and right now we are in winter.
Exactly. In fact, you can go back to the beginning. So our first winter was the American Revolution. What happens during winter is everything that felt certain is just completely uncertain. And so we've had three other winters, the American Revolution, Civil War and Reconstruction, and then the Great Depression. And now my premise is that we're in our fourth winter.
So what is a winter? What makes a particular period of time a winter?
Well, things feel very up in the air and uncertain. So the things you were always able to bank on, my home will always increase in value, are just not certain anymore. You know, getting an education means I will have a great job. Not certain anymore. So those are some of the micro things that you can look at. But also, just there tends to be a lot of political ripping of hair and gnashing of teeth. And we certainly are seeing that. And we saw that in our previous three winters.
Now, the three periods of time you mentioned, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Great Depression, I mean, those were some of the biggest, most catastrophic periods in American history. They were massive crises. Are you saying you think we're in another one of those?
I do think we're in the midst of winter. And although when you look back on those periods, you or I might think, this is easy street compared to that, I think we will look back on this period and some of the decisions we've made, and we will realize that we turned a corner. And during this period, America will either emerge working better for more people or not. And that's the corner we've turned in every previous winter.
How long do these cycles tend to last? Like if you look back in history,
can
you predict when we'll get out of this one?
I knew you'd ask that question. Every other winter period has lasted, on average, 19.67 years. So if we place the start of winter, our current winter at 2001, we'll be out of it by about 2020.
Oh, that's only in 7 years.
I mean, it's a
long, it's a long time, but on the other hand,
we're more than halfway through it.
More than halfway. Huh. So it sounds like the big advantage of seeing American history in terms of seasons is, as we said, that you can look back at other dark periods, other winters, and say, okay, so how did they get from winter to spring?
That's really what I wanted to get out of studying America's previous winters. And there are some lessons to apply. And I think, you know, one of the big ones, we're in the middle of it right now, is overall during these periods, America always questions itself. Who is America for? And what is America for? So when you start seeing more gay athletes coming out, when you start seeing more states allowing gay marriage, America is very clearly saying who it is for.
Or look at the huge debate right now over undocumented immigrants.
And what's interesting, I mean, if you really look back, previous winters usually have the seeds for the next winter in them.
Oh.
So, for example, I'm just going to geek out on you historically for a moment. Already during the American Revolution, when the Declaration of Independence was inked and then, you know, we had our new Constitution, the founding fathers were beginning to question whether America was only for European settlers or whether America also should expand rights to include formerly African slaves. So already the seeds for the Civil War were planted in our Constitution.
So what would you say, if you're going to then look ahead into the future, what seeds do you see now that you think, let's see, what would this be like 30 years from now, we might really have intense debate over?
I think one of the things that is being planted now that I feel concerned about for our next winter is, as America ages and at the same time as we become a country that is less Caucasian, I think we are staring at a showdown between older white Americans and younger non-white Americans. Actually, I really think one of the big questions is going to be whether our oldest citizens will vote for the next generation that doesn't look as much like them.
Now, you study generations and generational differences, and I noted that you said that the generation that is born in one season mm-hmm. comes of age in the next season.
That's right.
So how does that play out? Because there's always that feeling of disappointment. You know, everything that you grew up with in one season changes just as you come of age. It sounds like we've seen that pattern over and over again.
Yeah, and the generations stack up in that way. So if you're born in spring, you know, as a boomer, you were born in spring, you came of age during the youth revolution, the summer, you came into middle management or the height of your career, your highest earning power as things were starting to decay and get very uneven. And now you're going to head into your elderhood in winter. And for younger people, and the reason I wrote this book is because I saw my peers. I'm a Gen Xer and I work with a lot of millennials, and I saw the people who I see as the future leaders of this country, I saw them getting the keys to the car at the very time that there was a blizzard going on and people were saying, like, good luck, you know? So I wrote this book to kind of help steer through this a little bit, to say, hey guys, we've been here before. Here's what we've learned. Here are the things that we're going to have to solve on our watch. And I really believe that we can do it. And here's how I think we can do it.
So part of the message is, there's nothing really you can do about winter, right? I mean, it's going to happen. And one message could be you just hunker down and, you know, endure it. But it sounds like you're saying, no, now is when you need to prepare, because you know there's going to be a recovery. You know there's going to be a spring. So think ahead to what conditions we need to try to create for the generation that's going to come of age during that spring. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I feel like those of us who are alive at this moment owe it to our kids and our grandkids and theirs to make really wise decisions. We only cycle through winter every 100 years or so. And the decisions that are made in winter, the laws that are passed in winter, set the table for what our kids and grandkids inherit. So we have to choose wisely. One of the things that people can look for, because you might be thinking, well, how will I know when spring is really here? You know, and so the metaphor I like to use, and maybe it's because I'm a Midwesterner, but we really have hard seasons in the Midwest. Spring is very clear, summer and so forth. And in the Midwest, winter, it might seem like things are dead, but they're just frozen and cold, and squirrels and bears are hibernating, and they all come back out in the spring. And what they've been doing through winter is they've been regathering their energy. They've been sort of shoring up. And that's some of what we need to do. We need to just sit still for a second and say, what do we really care about? And how do we line our resources up behind that? And another thing to look for is, in the book, I have this diagram. It's an XY diagram. And on the X-axis is a spectrum from me, myself, to we, us. And on the Y spectrum is from hope on the top to fear on the bottom. And what you will start to see happen as spring comes again is we as a country will begin moving from me mind, which is very scarcity minded, very recession minded. How am I going to take care of me and mine? Over to we mind. So we'll move back over and we will start moving from fear back up to hope. So
sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds good to me too. And if the past is prologue, that will be what you'll start to see as spring comes again. And I feel like some of the signs are already there. You mentioned a couple of them before, you know, gay rights and the discussion mm-hmm. about immigration. Those are signs that we're saying that America is for more people.
Is there a big question for you in all of this, sort of an overarching philosophical question that you arrive at when you look at American history in terms of seasons?
Yes. When I did the research for the book, I came out of the first draft of the book feeling very depressed. So I think the philosophical question for me is, how do we, you and I and all of us, bring active hope to this exercise of winter? Because a lot is being asked of us right now, those of us who are alive in this moment, and our kids and grandkids are going to depend on us. So the challenges are huge, bigger than any of us have seen in our lifetime because of the seasonal nature of this. And how do we bring a sense of hopefulness to that?
Rebecca Ryan is a futurist and the founder of Next Generation Consulting. She and Anne were talking about her new ebook, Regeneration. We'll provide a link for it on our website at ttbook.org.